Max Metzlin, Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. One technical matter, I've said it before, we're having trouble with the phone lines. So please do call in, 844-967-2789, or text your comment in. If you call it in, Sam can hear you. My producer is doing a great job. Sam can hear you, but I can't hear Sam or you. You can hear me. So then Sam will take your comment and text it to me, and then I'll respond on the air. Appreciate it. So call or text 844-967-2789. You'll get Sam, and then Sam will find a way to get the message to me, because when you call in, I cannot hear you. We're working on this now. One thing, one point of personal privilege. Very, very pleased to announce, invite you to an event. Anybody listening, it's going to be in the Milwaukee area. Thursday, March 31 at 6:30 p.m. at Boswell Books on Downer Avenue in Milwaukee. We're having a book signing and reading by me of my latest novel called Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D, Milwaukee Jihad. It's my third novel. Daniel Golden, who owns Boswell Books, is kind enough to do the launch again. It's a terrific independent bookstore, stands up to Amazon, stands up to all the big boys, does very well. So if you're in Milwaukee, Thursday, this coming Thursday, March 31, 6:30 p.m. at Boswell Books, look it up, look up their website, get any book there. They have a great selection, Boswell Books on Downer Avenue. And if you're at all interested in any of the history that I discuss on this show, whether it has to do with jihad or the Ruskies or anybody else or American history, you will see it in very entertaining form, because the plot of the book is that a CIA agent named Audrey Knapp has to stop a 9/11 attack by jihadists on the State of the Union address in our U.S. Capitol that's very similar to the 9/11. And for a lot of reasons, it's up to her to stop it, and she stops it with her brains, a gun, and a knife. And the process, I think you'll learn a lot, and I would be very welcome to your questions. And if you can't make it, it can be available wherever books are sold, or you can get it on Amazon, and you may enjoy it. In fact, I know you will enjoy it. You know, one of the things, and this is more of a psychological thing, how does a country like Russia, which did produce some great things in the 19th century, that's over 100 years ago, if you read Dostoevsky's novels, you read Pushkin, if you listen to Tchaikovsky's music, it really is very good. And my favorite of Tchaikovsky, he had an opera called Eugene Onegin, which is based on a Pushkin story. And the heroine Tanya has a soliloquy, an aria, that's among the most beautiful in opera. I mean, it really is, in classical music. So they produced this. So how did they degenerate to the servile, gibbering mass of people they are now? It is because Russia and the Russian people have a tremendous inferiority complex. Now, why do I say that? Why do I say that? In 1997, I was part of a delegation from the Justice Department, sponsored by our State Department, to go to Russia, Moscow, and St. Petersburg, and give talks. This is right during the thaw when they were trying to emulate the United States. Give talks on our legal system, our civil system, our criminal system, rights, how a trial's done. Very interesting, very nice people. A guy came up to me, and I was very praiseworthy of the Russians at that time, the people, not the government, although the government there was opening up. And I talked about Dostoevsky and Pushkin and Tchaikovsky, and they were all very pleased with that. A guy came up to me, and he was a very nice guy. And he said, Mr. Flynn, you said very many nice things about our culture. If everything you say is true, why are we so backward? Why are we so backward? It was really poignant. I felt bad. I get, you know, my initial thought was, you know, they're in a bad neighborhood. They have all these stands to the south, you know, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, you know, and they're all Islamic countries that are, you know, always trying to break in and kill them. They had the Mongols come sweeping from the east. You know, it's a very, you know, we have two oceans protecting our country. You know, they have nothing. So I said that. I don't know that it satisfied them. But it's something deeper than that. There is a book called The Arms of Krupp, K-R-U-P-P. It's an interesting book, and it's about a German arms manufacturer, Krupp, selling arms during the Second World War and before. They were going to sell them to the Russians. So Krupp, who is this very kind of elegant, wealthy German guy, very cultivated and civilized, had the Russian guy, the purchaser, the defense minister, to his mansion, castle. And they're sitting on opposite ends of a long table, and the servants bring in finger bowls. Well, among folks like that, a finger bowl is, you had hors d'oeuvres or something, you dip your fingers in them, and it's sort of perfumed water with a flower floating in it, and it cleans them, and then you clean them on this towel next to them. So they sit down, the Russian picks up the bowl and drinks it, thinking it's soup. The German guy looks at him and picks his up and drinks it too, because he wants to make the sale. The second thing is Boris Yeltsin. Remember, Gorbachev was a commie, but Gorbachev was a good commie, and he transitioned to democracy, and Yeltsin became the first democratically elected president. Yeltsin had lost a few fingers in an industrial accident. He had stumps. One of the things he liked to do at dinner was he'd say, "Pass the butter, please." Pass the butter, he'd open it up, he'd stick his stumps in the butter, and butter his bread with his stumps. Now, that's kind of nasty. But, you know, the point is the Europeans look on Russians as if they're not housebroken. They look down on the Russians. I was in the Schiphol airport in Amsterdam one time, and there was a Russian guy in line in front of me to get on a flight. They yanked him out of line, and they were actually kind of, not abusive towards him, but derisive towards him. A Russian is seen as somebody who is uncouth, who would butter his bread with stumps, and would drink the finger bowl. That's the way they looked at it. And they're in a wild and woolly, very big country with very, very bad neighbors. They have the Chinese to the east, the Mongols swept over them, no oceans to protect them, and they feel bad about themselves. It kind of reminds me, frankly, there's an old joke. Guy goes to a psychiatrist, he says, "Doc, I have a terrible problem. I have an inferiority complex. I want you to cure me of it." Guy says, "Okay," and they go through a bunch of sessions. At the end, the guy says, "Doc, what do you think?" And the psychiatrist says, "I think I've gotten to the root of it." He said, "You don't have an inferiority complex. You're just inferior." And that is the way the Russians look on themselves. Now, they're not inferior. If you read, if you listen to Tchaikovsky, read Dostoevsky and Pushkin, they're not at all inferior. But they think they're inferior. And so this is the expression of an inferiority complex, where they lash out and they say, "We want to export our culture." They're not talking about Tchaikovsky and Dostoevsky. What they're talking about is a culture of sadism, fraud, repression, stealing 80% of their wealth, murdering people. They go into a country, they want everybody to follow the Russian Orthodox Church. They'll kill priests and nuns. They'll kill anybody else. We don't want them and their kind. As long as they're peaceful, we'll trade with them. That's terrific. But we do not want this. When they were commies, they were bad news, and now they're bad news again. Put some glide in your stride, guys. Chill. We don't want this. Why aren't you murdering and raping people? It's a simple request. You know, what more do I have to say? What more do I have to say? Going to a break. The lines are open to text, or you can call in your message to Sam, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.